then we know that the follow that is the seventh seal. And then we know that the trumpets then begin. And then we know there's trumpet number one, trumpet number two, trumpet number three. For those of you that read that book, second book I wrote, called 777, I had a lot of people ask me, why didn't you call that 777? And when they asked me, I would tell them, I said, because the trumpets and the seals, I said, they are all put together. And I said, I'm certain of it. But I said, there's some things in there that bother me. And so I would, when I went out, I'd say, the rapture's going to occur right here, and went up and down like this. But I knew, and I told them that it was going to be on the seventh trump. But I looked at that thing, and I'll tell you why I have objected. Not objected to, but I just couldn't understand something. I know that everything God does is right. I never question that. And if I don't understand it, I certainly don't say, well, I think the Lord really meant this or really meant that. I've got to have a good reason. And when Chuck's dad and sister Trusty joined here in the family, I talked to him a couple of times, and I knew that he believed in a gap between that would occur in there that people call most of them call it something that's like a period of time in there, and I thought I knew it was in there, but I didn't know where to put it. And so I would go like this. And I put it in there on the seventh trumpet. So I didn't teach you wrong. You say, well, you're trying to weasel out of this. Well, you're quite right. But anybody thinks that trying to predict stuff is easy when you're not the Lord. And you just have to keep waiting and waiting and waiting. And you don't know if he's going to show you or not. And it bothered me a lot. But there wasn't anything I could determine about it. Well, I'm telling you all this because not this Sunday, but the Sunday after, I'm going to put this thing together for you. And my conclusion you may not like. But everything I've taught you up to this point will all fit together. And I'm even going to include some things in there, one thing in particular, one section in particular, of the actual the three he's in Daniel. And I'm very confident. So I feel confident enough to say this. If you look over what I'm going to present, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday, and honestly look at it, after you finish looking at it, I don't think you're going to like it. I had one main objection to the idea there was a gap in there. I could not accept in my own mind that the Lord would put his people in the last part of the tribulation period through part of it when all the people before that had already gone ahead. Their souls were already in heaven. They were standing in their lots, and they were waiting for the resurrection. I couldn't understand it. I thought, God said he wouldn't put his people through that. So I said, it's not him, it's me. I said, I just don't understand it. I didn't believe God would put his people through that long, through as long a period as I think it's going to be. And so I just would go like this. He is going to put us through a longer period of time. And you may not like it, but I'm going to show you why. But the reason that I never put it in there before is I just came to the conclusion And I tell you what it is before I present it. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Adam, Eve, God didn't give them a whole lot of information. You say, are you implying that he should have? No. I'm just telling you, he didn't give them a whole lot of information. And he told you that we had a better covenant. And it was hard for me to believe that under a better covenant, the people in the last part of this age, this generation of the Gentiles, were going to have to go through a long period. And they all escaped it. Their bodies, their bones are out in the grave, or their dust, or their ashes, and their souls are in heaven. And finally, I tell you how I had to learn it. When I was born in 1932, by 1935, I'll make it a little later because I'm not quite sure, but I'd say by 1936, I knew that that God wasn't going to put us through any tribulation. I mean, he wasn't going to put us through the vials. He won't. But I didn't know the Greek language. And there were people around that believed there was a gap in there. But I just couldn't believe God would send his people through the vials of wrath. And then after Chuck's dad joined, and after I met Chuck, we had several interesting discussions, I came to look at that and I said, well, I cannot. Here's the reason I just fought against it, because I thought, what about all these people in the Old Testament? What about all those before John the Baptist? What about all those people back there? Look at what they did. Yeah, they put a lot of people to death. They did this, they did that, they did this, they did that. But I've lived through this generation, and what they did was nothing compared to the condition of this society. This society is the worst, most hideous, most heinous group of people that ever lived on the surface of this earth. I'm afraid that we're going to go through more of the tribulation period than I. That's why I fought against it. I just didn't think God would put us through it. I know why he's going to do it now. That's the reason. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God winked. He just, like you kind of go like this, and you cringe. And when you look at what man is doing on the earth, and even here, right now, we don't have born again believers cringing at things that are going on this earth. They think they're going out at the first of the week. They're not going out at the first of the week. I'm going to try to show you after Chuck preaches this Sunday, the next Sunday, I'm going to show you exactly what I believe and why. And the reason I waited so long to put it in was because I just couldn't believe that God would let all those people back there in the Old Testament get to go to heaven before us and be up there not having any problems. And we'd be down here on the ground and we'd have to go through that. And I realized that God can protect his people, and I realized that God will. But it always bothered me. I thought, the Bible indicates we're not appointed to wrath. And what really made me change, you know, John wrote the sixth seal in Revelation, and he wrote the seventh seal in Revelation. He was the same writer that wrote all the vials in the 19th chapter of Revelation. And he wrote all those. And yet, if you put them side by side, down at the bottom, of the, when they get at the very end, the very worst, there's two different Greek words used as to the type of wrath that occurs. And when I discovered that, I said, wait a minute. What have I just lived through? I was born 32. You wouldn't believe how wonderful it was back then for the United States. Sure, we lost a lot of men overseas. Sure, a lot of people died over there, and they're real heroes, and I honor them. But the truth of the matter is, as bad as Hitler was and all the rest of them, they're not nearly as bad toward a spiritual God than the people of today. They are just literally spitting on him. And in case you haven't noticed, my favorite network, what's the name of that network?
Fox.
Huh?
Fox.
My favorite network, I've been noticing the last 6 months, they've been getting a lot of comments on there and different things that show me that most of them don't believe there's a God either. And so I said, well, God can't wink at this now, because he wouldn't be just and the justifier of them that believe in the Son as the offspring of Almighty God. He couldn't be justifier if he didn't believe that what he said, he and his Father were one. So I've come to the conclusion we're going to be here longer than we think. And some people may get irritated about it, but that's all right. That's what I believe. I do believe that there is a gap in there. And I realize now it's much longer than it was. So if I can get two of y'all to pass these out, they're all the same. And I'll keep me one up here. You'll pass them out over there, but they're all the same. Yeah, and what I'm going to do, I'm not going to continue on the same thing you had on that original thing I told you to bring on Sundays. Be sure and bring that thing on the Sunday after Chuck preaches, because I'm going to show you some things on there that also involve the gap theory, and it makes it even more apparent that the gap theory is involved in all this. And I think that's one of the reasons God winked at what they did. This has been a continuing revelation that God has made available to all of us. And by the time we get down to this particular thing, we are offending the living God. And this generation is unique. It has offended him spiritually. And people that think they're worshiping him aren't worshiping him. So what, and this is for Ken. Kalaza is coming. I wanted to keep him awake. That's Ken Kalaza. Kalaza's coming. You'd be surprised how many people have come up the aisle and gone back with us. And we've had all kinds of strange people coming. I remember, not a lot, but some of them, particularly one woman, believed that she had committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And Herb and I, we tried and tried and tried to convince her that she hadn't. And we finally just had to settle that she was just a little off upstairs. And we didn't want to overconvince her. So that was one of the things in my life I think about a lot. Kalaza's coming. This is a simple message. It was a message I preached a long time ago when I first came up here. I had to preach messages that wouldn't offend some of the people that were in the church. It didn't take me long to find out what everybody believed. And so I didn't compromise. I just tried to preach within the limits of what I discovered the church believed. and within the limits of what I understood. And the Lord didn't seem to mind, so I went ahead and I knew what I was doing, and he didn't bother me. Believe me, if I don't do what he wants, he bugs me to death. Colossians coming. So this is primarily for people that believe that it's coming, and it explains why we're so close to it. I kept watching this stuff come on, and I'm a professional certified meteorologist. I know you think I brag about it all the time, but I tell you, I'm not bragging about it. I was very good at it, and I went to all kinds of schools to learn about it, and I absolutely knew that all power in heaven and earth was given to God. I knew he created the heaven and the earth. I understood lots of things about him. And then I began to really try to find out about him, and I really began to try to understand who this is that I'm serving. And I found out. And I found out about myself. That's why the first beatitude says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now I understand that. I thought I understood it, but I didn't. In Revelation 6, 12 through 14, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and isle were moved out of their place." That's what I'm waiting for. Because when that happens, I know that the first 118 days of the tribulation, 118 days of the 70 weeks of Daniel have already been fulfilled. And I can show you exactly when they were fulfilled, and I can show you exactly who fulfilled them. And Jesus himself fulfilled them, and I can prove it. Now, what comes after the sixth seal? Well, the seventh seal. What comes after the seventh seal? The first trumpet. You remember in that second book I wrote, that one, the little blue one? I have a bigger copy of it. It's the last one I got left. All the others I sold or gave away. But it's a big one, just big thing like that. And sometimes I perform wedding ceremonies out of it, so it'll look like I were doing something holier than it is. But the truth of the matter is, when that happens, you're going to have the seventh seal. And do you remember up at the top of the blue book, I put those little things up at the top that showed how they were correlated? I didn't get those precisely correct, but I got them pretty close. And I tried to tell people that there are seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials. And I was convinced that in the sixth chapter of Revelation, that when it talked about the great earthquake, and each one of those trumpets after that had a great earthquake, but the last one was the worst of all. And the first and the last one were two different kinds of wrath. Things began to make sense. And God's not blaming me. God is not bothering me right now, what I'm telling you. And that's the strongest indicator I've had in my entire life that what I was doing was all right. Because the one thing I don't want to do is offend God. And the one thing I needed to do was offend myself. And to make me realize that if God hadn't saved Adam, then he could have just wiped out the whole human race. So I owe God for just being able to be in a body, because he didn't wipe out the whole human race. And if God hadn't took on the form of a quickening servant, of a quickening spirit, I wouldn't be saved today. And so I understand grace too. And I understand that God puts grace in there and tells you what it is. And then he tells you what you have to do to understand what it is after you actually accept his offer of grace. So when you look at these things and all the things put together, you begin to see that there is a pattern that God has put in Scripture that lets you see that there has to be a time of tribulation that comes on the earth. And my mistake was that I tried to put it right there on the seventh trumpet and just kind of let all that stuff in between put up at the top of the page in my book. And it was very confusing. And so when I would explain it to some people, why they understood it and others didn't. So I've prayed about that now for all the years I've been up here in this church. And I'm satisfied with what I believe now. And I won't change. I just don't believe it. I don't believe I'll have to. So I'll be getting into that, not this Sunday, but the next Sunday. Now, don't commit blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, blasphemy is described as calling the Holy Spirit a liar. And when you don't accept his grace offer, you call him a liar. When he convicts you, you're going to him. Now, you don't have to worry about going to hell while you're in the womb, because he's got you covered by his blood, and you're what's known as safe. You don't have to worry about after you're born until all of a sudden one day God begins to convict you. Up until that time, you're safe. You can't make a decision. You aren't capable of it. But all of a sudden, the Lord starts convicting you. What's the first thing you do? After you get convicted, you are confused. And I was confused. And most people are confused. But finally, I realized what God's grace is. When he wrote through Peter and indicated that it is not God's will that any should perish. Now think about that. It is not God's will that any should perish. Think about it. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. God convicted you. It bothered you. He even scared you. He said, he indicated that when the Lord started convicting you, after you reached the age of accountability, you were going to start coming to God, and you were going to come repenting. And he was going to bother you about it. You didn't want to go to hell. There were lots of things about it that were awful fuzzy. God meant for him to be. But you kept on going. You kept on praying. And finally one day, you accepted that grace. Did you understand everything that was happening? No. You didn't. Nor did I. But a strange thing happened. Maybe not so strange. I suddenly realized that he died for me on the cross. That there was nothing I could do absolutely to save myself. And I didn't have any choice. Oh, I had a choice. But what was the choice? The choice was to either accept his offer of grace and go to heaven, or not to accept it and go to hell. Did I understand all that before I got saved? No. When did I come to understand it? after one day, I realized that I was desperate. And I guess you could call it an Italian charge. They surrendered very easily in World War II. I just gave up. I had no hope. It was hopeless. And I just asked God if he would save me, because there was no way I could keep his law, his way. And I asked him just to save me the way I was. And after that was over, I realized that I needed to be baptized. And I came to realize it wasn't to be saved. It was to actually obey him. Obey him. And I submitted to scriptural baptism. And I was saved by I understood what had happened to me. And after that, I began to understand what it meant to be a part of a New Testament church. I began to understand that we are a very special people, but we're not special because we're born special. We're special because God made us special, and because the mercy of God, and God allowed us, God drew us to repentance toward him and faith toward the seed, his seed. And when you go through all this and study it, we're going to have to go through a large part of the tribulation period. And I will show you why. And God is going to leave some people down here. Don't have to go through a very large part of the tribulation period. So what is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I was spiritually dead toward God, and I was covered by his blood in the womb, and I was covered in his blood after I came out of the womb. And it says, yet shall he live. Well, when did I really begin to understand what had happened to me? Well, I was saved. I knew that. How did I know it? I just knew. Don't ask me to explain it. But God opened the door for me to exercise repentance toward him and faith toward the seed which he mentioned in the first chapter of Genesis. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I believe that. I believe that after I accepted what he said that Peter uttered. Peter indicated what grace really was. He said, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus resurrected himself, and he was the seed of the living God. She saith unto him, yea, Lord. Now listen to what this woman said. Now she was half Jew and half Gentile. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the anointed one, Christos, the Son of God, which should come into the world. The Lord didn't meet her out there by accident. He didn't go through Samaria by accident. He told him, I must needs go through Samaria. And Jews just didn't go through directly through Samaria. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. There were lots of things that God did in the Old Testament that I believe are classified as winked at. In other words, it wasn't that he said, you know, I'm going to do this and do that. It's not the kind of wink that Obama was expecting from the Russian vice president when he was over there and kind of winked and said, we're going to get this straightened out, and then Obama will really do something. Not that kind of wink. Because when God saves, he saves completely. And when he said that he might be just and the justifier, that he might be just and the justifier of them that believe. I came to understand how saved I was after I got saved. And when I received scriptural baptism, it became abundantly clear that there were some things I did not understand. And I worked at it all these years. God knew what I wanted to know. I think I now understand it like I should have. And as far as mistakes, I've made so many of them, don't even ask me to start to give you a number that I've to guess. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? They believed he was going to be a descendant of David. And most of them believed he would be a man who would live forever in the flesh. That's what the scribes and Pharisees believed. This woman at least said that he would teach them when he came into the world. Well, he sure taught me. And I believe in grace. And I believe I was saved by grace. Because God opened the door when I repented of my sins toward God and put my faith in the Word of God that proceeded from his lips. And when I realized that Jesus resurrected himself and that he and the Father were one, I began to look at a lot of different things, and a lot of things became clearer. I don't think this was really meant to be fully understood until the last days, and I don't claim to fully understand it. But I will tell you that I understand a whole lot more about it I did than when I first came up here. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, prince of the devils. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what it is. And the Pharisees that continued to believe this, and I suspect the vast majority did, they're in hell right now. On the other side of a vast gulf that men don't pass back and forth across. I taught this here when I first came here, and I still believe it. And I'm going to work this into it before I finish. And Jesus knew their thoughts. You see, that's something that we need to think about. Jesus knew their thoughts. But you know, when God first started convicting me, after I passed the age of accountability, I didn't know my thoughts. I just knew I was condemned. I was sold under sin. Paul made that abundantly clear. I didn't understand. I kept praying and praying and asking God to save me and asking God to save me. And I knew that he was hearing. I knew he was. But he had a lot to teach me. Let me tell you what the main thing he had to teach me was. Paul put it like this. He said, we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. I now understand what that means. I'm sitting here as a pastor in one of his churches. I'm still carnal, but Jesus has paid the price for my sins, all of them. You know how I learned that? By repenting toward God and putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he hadn't opened the door and allowed me to repent and given me peace, then he would never leave me nor forsake me. What would have happened? I don't have to worry about that anymore because I know what I believe. Paul came to know what he believed, but he came to believe it after he repented toward God and put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth cast out devils. But by doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." Well, I'm sitting here right now, and I know I'm going to heaven. Not a doubt in my mind about it. You say, "Well, are you ever tempted?" Oh, yes. You say, "Well, what have I learned from all this?" He will never leave me nor forsake me. Never. You say, "Well, what does that do?" It makes me love him. I love him because he first loved me. He first loved my forefather Adam. Made himself a quickening spirit, a quickening seed, and led me to repentance toward God and faith in my Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan and is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand?" God's never been divided against himself. God's never been divided against himself. But God's been tempted much worse than we have been. And he did it because he loved us, and he knew, he understood, he knew our thoughts, he knew what had happened, he knew why it happened. He understood everything. So what have I got to worry about? Well, I'm not a Calvinist at all. God forbid. But I am someone who believes that the grace of God led me to repentance and to put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I owe him everything, and he owes me nothing. That's why I know he loves me. And if I be by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. He did cast out devils. The disciples cast out devils. But they were real and they were genuine. But God worked all this out where all you have to do is believe what he said. All you have to do is read and see what happened. And you can tell the difference between religion, false religion, and true religion. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. This final generation is the most ungodly that ever lived on this earth. It's a matter of the mind. It's a matter of a spiritual heart. It's a matter of cunning, cleverness, false doctrine, false teaching, deceit, lying, leading God's children astray. Never has the devil been stronger. Never. But by the same token, God has always had all the power in heaven and in earth. Always. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them that he has all power in heaven and earth. Trust him. He's more powerful than the devil. He can bind the devil. He can save you and keep you by his power. And he will. And don't be afraid to go through tribulation. Don't be afraid if you're left here for part of the tribulation period or how long it is. Just be thankful to God that you are saved and you do understand what I'm talking about. You don't have a thing to worry about. You say, well, I have worried about death. You don't have to worry about death. He's conquered death. He's overcome for you. He overcomes in you. He is the overcomer. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be given unto me, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. When God started convicting you, he was offering you grace. And when you repented toward God and put your faith in his word, which is the promised seed that was coming, he fulfilled the office of the Holy Ghost and he forgave you. How much? All of it. You say, well, now you're a Calvinist. No, I'm not a Calvinist. I'm anything but a Calvinist. I've run Calvinists off from this church, if you want to know the truth. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. You ever say GD? You ever do that? When you're working on a car, kicking a tire or something, stub your toe, when you were young, it shall be forgiven him. I don't encourage saying it. It's wrong. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. You know who Jesus is? He's my righteousness. He's all I've got. He gave it to me. He earned it and paid for it. I accepted his offer of grace. And I kept asking him to save me. And he taught me something. It took a long time, but he taught me that I needed to be scripturally baptized. And then that happened. He says, either make the tree good and the fruit, his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. That's why I know Chuck Trust is saved. That's why I know Kenneth Eubanks is saved. That's why I know you're saved. You say, but if you're not God, no. But I know that your tree is known by his fruit. You make mistakes. Don't tell me you never have made a mistake. Don't tell me you're never going to make anything again. I know you're saved. You say, well, you can't know. Yes, I do. Here you are on a Wednesday night, and what's outside this building across the surface of this earth is the most corrupt, ungodly generation that ever walked on this earth. And what's outside this building? Churches filled with religious people that don't even know how to worship Him, have no idea how to worship Him. They just keep running back and being resaved and resaved and resaved. It's like washing, keep washing an old dress. It won't work. I know how I got saved. You say, who taught you? God. Who taught me that God was His Father? God, the Father of the seed. You got all His names written in Isaiah. He says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, His mouth speaketh. How do I know you love me? By the way you've treated me, by your kindness toward me, by understanding when I just couldn't get over here, understanding I wanted to, and not thinking I just was lazy, shiftless, whatever. I know I've seen your fruit. I've watched your fruit. That's why I love Chuck Trusty so much. That's why I loved his dad. I've seen the fruit. I've seen his wife's fruit. I've seen all of you. You got the same problem I've got, but it's not a problem. You have the same righteousness I have. It was given to you. You're not Calvinistic. For out of the abundance of his heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what I'm doing right now. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. But an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. People that believe they can lose their salvation are people who do, they bring things out of an evil heart. You say, you can't have an evil heart and a good heart at the same time. No, but you can have an evil nature. You can have the devils tempting you. There's no such thing as a demon, but there are such things as fallen angels. And those fallen angels can make you get off track. The devil can't unsave you. It's not possible. The Bible indicates that clearly. But what does he want from you? He wants you to stop going to church. He wants you to stop learning. He wants you to examine everything I say. And love me, and if you've got something you want to tell me about, tell me. I learned from Chuck. I learned from his father. I hate to admit it, but I learned from Ken. But I didn't learn to whistle from you. Didn't learn to whistle from you. That every word that men shall speak, they shall give account in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shall they be condemned. I have preached to you the truth. And if I discover that I was wrong, I will tell you. You say, who will make you do that? The Lord. John 12:37-50. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. What about all these people that believe that God's still performing miracles? They're religious, but they can't worship God because they're religious, and that's all they are. Yet they believe not on him. They want more miracles. One's not enough. The Catholic Church has to get confirmation. It's a blasphemous lie. Sometimes, do you know, I didn't realize what a wonderful God I had until after I came up here and I had to study the Word, and I realized, blessed are the poor in spirit. When I got saved, I was down to the point where, man, I was helpless. I'm not helpless anymore. My carnal nature is. And he doesn't realize it. But God's not powerless. All power in heaven and earth is given to him. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. I had one fellow tell me one time Jesus was a landmarker. Well, I tell you what, I'm not going to argue with him, because Jesus wouldn't go around shifting people's to get more land. It all belongs to him. These people that serve God for reward and things that they can get, and they believe God will bless them if they just do this and they do that, you send him money, send him handkerchiefs and stuff, that's ungodly blasphemy. I mean, it appears wonderful on the surface if you don't have any idea what the Bible says. That's one thing I've learned in going to all these trips. That the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? He's been revealed to you. You've got him living inside you. Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah saith again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their ears, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Do you know that the more you learn about him, the less you think of yourself, and the more you think of him? And do you know what's taught in our public schools? The more you learn, the better education you get, the more well-educated you are, the stronger you are, and the more you'll succeed. It's the exact opposite with God. I learned that, and I said, well, I've understood a lot then. Among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Guilty. 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 You say, what did you learn? I'm poor in spirit. I don't have any power of my own. The only righteousness I've got is his, and he gave it to me. I couldn't overcome. I can't overcome. But he has all power in heaven and overcome. He overcame for me. He overcame for you. Believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth of me should not abide in darkness. We have literally billions of people worshiping false gods that acknowledge that Jesus was a fine man. Lord, I thank you that I'm not one of them. And I thank you, Lord, that you've taught me that I am without righteousness of my own, and that you overcame for me. How did I learn that? God taught me from his word. God used other men to teach me. God used lots of people to teach me. That's what he kept telling the first New Testament church. They were jealous of each other. They'd get back and argue about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of God. I don't care where God puts me in the kingdom of God. I just know I'm going there. And I know that wherever he puts me and whatever he gives me to do there is the right thing to do. You know what I want. I want to live up there with Imogene for all eternity. That may not be what God plans. You say, well, will you accept it? Yeah, I'll accept it. Will Imogene accept it? Yeah. Will he let us see each other once in a while? I sure hope so, because I miss that little booger. He says, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's the vials of wrath. But you know the seventh trumpet sounds. What comes after the seventh trumpet, the first vial? You say, well, there's all kind of scriptures in between there about a lot of other stuff. You're right. And you're going to get to see some of that. Believe it or not, I taught that at one time up here. A long time ago. But the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Wherefore I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speaketh. He said, I and the Father are one. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I came to him. He convicted the socks off of me. And I finally came. And he saved me. And I knew. And then afterwards, he convicted me. I needed scriptural baptism. I didn't need to run around moving people's landmarks and trying to get as much out of this life as I could. That's a hard lesson to learn. But that's why I'm so thankful for you all that are sitting out there right now. We share a fellowship that is unique. We are going to rule with Christ. But he's going to be the head of the church. He's going to be the head of everything. And I don't want it any other way. I don't want it any other way. Chuck, you want to dismiss us?